you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball, this is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Welcome to Bumblebee Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you guys. In segment number two, we are going to be joined by Holden Kushner. He does a great job over there at Run Pure Bets and Run Pure Sports. Along with that, he does the Denver CityCast. You're able to subscribe to that podcast wherever you get your podcasts, as we're going to be talking about just how the Aaron Judge race for home run 62, which he did indeed hit on Tuesday, was able to lend for a little bit of value in terms of the player prop market on taking the no on his props, how betting on day 162 in the MLB season for a lot of these teams, it can be a little bit more of a crapshoot. You probably want to tread a little bit more lightly, and we're going to be taking a look forward to the postseason as well. In the final segment, it's going to be a little bit more herky-jerky. As I record this, we've got a lot of TBD starters on the board for game 162, which that just comes with the territory on this. We're going to give you guys a side and total on every game, though, as we touch them all. First things first, always do love to be able to answer Twitter questions on this podcast. I've got one or two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @JNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM. Name does not matter, as per usual. Please just send these into the timeline. And the other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. This is a podcast that is brought to you today by DraftKings, and vote yes on Prop 27. Prop 27 is doing everything you can to get Californians online and betting. You're able to do so in over half of the country. You're able to do so in places like Boston and New York. Why not in California? Prop 27 and voting yes on it is going to be able to help achieve that. And we're looking to be firing all cylinders and achieving as much money as humanly possible in our bankrolls when it comes to the postseason as well. So we're going to do a little bit more of a quick and dirty in terms of the recap from what we saw on Tuesday, because we're going to call what it is a lot of these teams. There's not much to be able to look forward to until 2023, so we're not going to have as many takeaways with them. But that said, we still have some teams that they were trying to fight for a little bit of postseason sim positioning, and we still have some trends to take a look at. So we're going to give you guys a little bit of a once-over on that here in segment number one.
A game from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
Aaron Judge did it. Home run number 62 for him. I am doing this podcast as game number two is raging on, as the Yankees, they were able to get it done in game number one as they took down the Texas Rangers by a count of 5-4. Jameson Taillon not looking sharp going into the postseason. 4 runs surrendered in 6 innings, including a home run going deep off of him for the Walker Texas Rangers. Adolis Garcia, his 27th home run season and RBI number 100 for him. 55 shades of John Gray, allowed a pair of bombs, 3 runs a total, of course, in 6 innings, as He gave up a home run to Oswaldo Cabrera, sixth home run season, and then it was home run number one for our young friend Oswald Peraza. A little bit later on in the game, Kyle Higashioka takes Brock Burke deep for his 10th home run of the season, and for the New York Yankees, they got scoreless innings out of Aroldis Chapman, Greg Weisert, along Jonathan Loaisiga, so that was a solid showing. And then as we are doing this, game number two, you did have Gerrit Cole give up a home run early on in this game, so we shall see if he's able to rebound from there. But the big thing is Aaron Judge, home run number 62, so might be able to give him a little bit more rest going into the postseason. And this has been one of the hottest trends in all of baseball this season, and it's going to be interesting to see if he gets a postseason start or not. Cal Quantrill, he gets it done once again for the Cleveland Guardians. 5-3 the final for Quantrill. He has led the Cleveland Guardians a victory in now 16 out of his last 17 starts, and the lone loss in one of his starts for the Guardians is when he pitched three innings. There was that 4.5-hour rain delay against the Seattle Mariners. That's it. Quantrill gives up one run in five innings. Zach Plesac and Sam Entges both land a scoreless inning out of the bullpen. James Karinchak allows a run in an inning, and then Emmanuel Clase an unearned run in his inning of work as Owen Miller provides a sixth home run season to power the team to victory off of Daniel Lynch, who, well, he had a bad season. Five runs surrendered in 4 2/3 innings before Colin Sider just eats three in the third innings and was able to do so scoreless. The New York Mets, they were able to take care of business in their double dip. They take down the Washington Nationals by a count of 4-2 in game number one. Going to be a little bit too little too late for them to win the division as Corey Abbott gives up four runs, three of which were earned, with the Mets being able to get a home run out of Brandon Nimmo, 15th home run season. Carlos Carrasco, not necessarily too long for this game, giving up two runs in four innings, including a home run to the catcher Riley Adams, his fifth home run season, but bullpen from there did their part. Edwin Diaz, Drew Smith, David Peterson all provide a scoreless inning, and Adam Ottavino, 1 2/3 inning scoreless, as that was actually a four-out save for Diaz. And then, as I am doing this, the game is yet to go final for the Mets, but they have put up seven runs in the first two innings against the Washington Nationals. It is not looking great for our good friends at Nationals, as Paulo Espino had a start where he got one out and he gave up seven runs. So, yeah, that's not terrific for him. As Tymon Walker, you gotta figure it's gonna get the Mets to the window on that one. So, not necessarily the world's greatest of starts. And speaking of not necessarily the world's greatest starts, Zach Gallen did give up three runs in five innings for the Arizona Diamondbacks. As I do this, the Brewers are in the lead, though. You may recall on the podcast yesterday, it was looking like the Diamondbacks were going to take down the Brewers, and the Brewers, with two outs in the ninth inning, they were able to rally off of a error that prolonged the game. So always be on the lookout there. The Chicago White Sox looking to send a little bit of a statement now that they are without Tony La Russa moving forward, as they put up eight runs in the first four innings against the Minnesota Twins. For our good friend Josh Winder of the Twins, he gives up four runs in 2 1/3 innings. Aaron Sanchez, who might come out for more, he's given up four runs, three of which were earned in 1 2/3 innings. As for the Chicago White Sox, Elvis Andrews, home run number 17 of the campaign, just getting going with regards to a lot of the West Coast games, so don't necessarily have a lot to be able to give you there. But we do have the Cincinnati Reds. We're able to take down the Chicago Cubs by a count of 3-2, as both runs for the Cubs, they both come off of solo home runs. Nico Horner, 10th home run season, and then Wilson Contreras, he gets home run number 22 of the campaign. Well, Jackie Robinson, he's had a really bad year for the Reds. He gets a second home run of the campaign. Luis Sessa gives up one of those bombs in his five innings of work. And then the other home run given up by Fernando Cruz, who gave up a run in an inning. Ian Gabeau was able to lend a scoreless inning. Buck Farmer, Alexis Diaz, they combine for two scoreless. And for the Chicago Cubs, Javier Assad, 5 1/3 innings before Keegan Thompson gives up that home run to Robinson. Two runs in total in 2 2/3 innings. And then Brandon Hughes, he does not get a single out before allowing a run. The Seattle Mariners got position player Lewis Torrens a win. This is something that you don't see very often. 7-6. They were able to get the job done. We don't know how game two went, but Eduardo Rodriguez gave up three runs in six innings, including two home runs, going deep for Seattle. Kirk Gasselli, his fifth home run season. Mitch Haniger is 10th. As the Seattle Mariners used every resource available. Matthew Fessa gave up two runs in two innings, including a home run, and Chris Flexen gives up three runs, four innings, including a home run going deep. You had Spencer Torkelson be able to get his seventh home run season, and Victor Reyes goes deep for his third home run of the campaign. And Lewis Torrens, I will say, he was a backup catcher throwing in the mid to high 80s for the Seattle Mariners, giving up an unearned run in the 10th inning. That was a 4.50 ERA overall for the season, as Eric Swanson, two scoreless innings, Andres Munoz was able to lead to scoreless setting as well for the Atlanta Braves. They do sew up that NL East. They take down the Miami Marlins by a count of 2-1. Had the Braves lost, and the Mets won both games, which it looks like they're going to. We would have had, in case of which maybe you would have seen Max Fried on the bump for the Atlanta Braves in game 162. That does not look like it's going to be the case. It's Odorizzi gives up a solo home run in five innings. Going deep for Miami, Jesus Sanchez, his 13th home run season. But then from there, Kenley Jansen, A.J. Minter, Rossy Iglesias, Colin McHugh, all lined a scoreless setting in for Miami. And solo home run is all that they got. Braxton Garrett gives up two runs in 4 2/3 innings, and that proved to be too much. Uscott Blasobin, four outs out of the bullpen, Tommy Nance, Tanner Scott, Dylan Floro, and they'll end a scoreless inning, and the Miami Marlins were really able to be party poopers for our good friends, the Milwaukee Brewers, but they were not able to do so on this case. And you're also noticing, in terms of Major League Baseball right now, if you're betting on some of these totals, there's quite a bit of inclement weather out east, and we saw that with the Baltimore Orioles and the Blue Jays game getting washed out for Tuesday, and you only had five innings played between Boston and the Tampa Bay Rays, but they were able to get in an official game 6-0. Red Sox got that win, so if you bet the total on that one, it was a refund. Jeffrey Springs gives up one run in three innings, and then Colin Pooch, well, he pooched this one. He gave up four runs in a third of an inning, giving up a home run to Xander Bogaerts' 15th home run season, and that was of the Grand Slam variety, and Anthony Eovaldi, officially a complete game scoreless as he went five innings, so not much of a complete game, but you know what? You take it out, you can get it, and after the Philadelphia Phillies sewed up a playoff spot right now, a little bit of a lackluster effort against the Houston Astros as I do this, it is 7-0 as Rangers Suarez went three innings, giving up six runs, including three home runs. Astros firing all cylinders going into the postseason. Kyle Tucker, 30th home run season. Jeremy Pena, 22nd. And Martin Maldonado, his 15th home run season. And as I do this, Justin Verlander, five no-hit innings with 10 strikeouts. Just absolutely insane what he is doing. That should sign, seal, and deliver the Cy Young Award, as the St. Louis Cardinals have looked a little bit shaky in the series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. This is most likely just them resting quite a few guys, and Nolan Arenado has not been in the lineup, but for Dakota Hudson, gives up seven runs in 2 2/3 innings, and I'm currently doing this as the game is in the ninth inning and most likely going to extras, but for the Cardinals, good showing out of the bullpen as Jack Flaherty threw a scoreless inning out of the bullpen. That's strange. Andre Pallante, 1 1/3 inning scoreless. Jojo Romero, 2 scoreless innings. Ryan Helsley, Zach Thompson, they piecemeal together a scoreless inning, and now it's pretty much Chris Stratton's game as well. So we shall see how that fares, but if you're taking a look at Major League Baseball right now, we have been noticing quite a few unders, not just in the last few days, but really over the entirety of the season. If you're taking a look at just the last 7 days, as we've got a few games pending for Tuesday, 50 unders of 34 overs. It is getting cooler in the Northeast and the Midwest part of the country, so that is 59.5% to the under favorites in this span. They have went 58-33. Once again, we shall see how some of these games for Tuesday fare, and you'll know these by the time this uploads, but that said, over the last 60 days, 381 unders of 354 overs. That is 52.5% to the under. Home favorites have been on fire. 302 and 170 straight up. That is 64%, but among these home favorites, 88 have failed to cover the run line, that have won straight up, and we've really been seeing that all season long. Home favorites for the campaign hitting at 61%, 904 and 577, but among these home favorites, you've had 278 fail to cover the run line. That's not necessarily too terrific. And unders overall for the season hitting at darn near 52%, 1,171 unders to 1,084 overs, according to our good friends over there at Covers. So that's what we got in Major League Baseball on Tuesday, and that's what we're seeing just trend-wise. Now coming up next, right here on the Baseball Betting Show, we're going to be talking to Holden Kushner. He does a great job over at Run Pure Bets and Run Pure Sports. Now, it's a little bit of a crapshoot right now in Major League Baseball, but what to take a look at in terms of postseason. Why don't you not fire in on some of these very, very chalky home run props as well, as we saw from the chase that we had from Aaron Judge and so much more. We're going to be talking about that next here on the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Decent Family Podcast.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
Welcome back to lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Beeson Family and Podcast, and it is great to be joined by our guest, it's Holden Kushner. He does amazing work over there at Run Pure Bets and Run Pure Sports. I know that he does some nice contributions for us over at VSiN as well. Does a great job taking a look at a wide variety of things. Baseball day in and day out, the NFL. I know that when college basketball season is lively, he does a great job on that front as well. And to be able to follow Holden on Twitter, that is at Holden Radio altogether. And Holden, always great to have you aboard. Thank you.
Oh, man, I've been waiting for my call from Greg Peterson to talk some more Major League Baseball, my friend. Yeah, and thanks for the intro. Run Pure Sports, Run Pure Bets. Still doing the Denver City cast for Bet Rivers, and then we got the Bet Tour Network. So thank you for letting me get everything out here. I'm excited. I just saw Aaron Judge hit a 62nd, and no matter what, we weren't going to get any more break-ins on football. I really was over it, but congratulations to him. 62 home runs. No one has more in the AL. Almost became like a Yankees record thing, which turned me off for a second, but what an accomplishment. What a stud, and a bet on yourself and to go do this. Pay the man.
Absolutely. And I do think that with that Aaron Judge home run chase, it actually did lend for a lot of value in a different way as well, because we were seeing books and they were just juicing the yes on Aaron Judge hit a home run at right around like plus 175, plus 180 on in a day in a day out basis. And if you just took the no after hit home run number 60, you were able to make a lot of coin on that. When it was all said and done, if you just bet the no from when he hit number 60 just on forward, you'd probably able to make $700 if you're betting to win $100. And I do think that that's always something to take a look at, because hitting a home run is really, really difficult in the MLB. And just in terms of player props in general, you see it on social media all the time. Everyone's just taking the yes on all these star players, and books are very aware of that, and there's a reason why they make money and don't lose money.
Yeah, the books are always going to make it. I try not to get into the specials, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't bet one time on an Aaron Judge home run. Just wasn't going to do it. That's fine. I'm not betting these boosts. You're not going to sucker bet me in there anymore. If you were making 7 units, though, I wish I would have tailed you doing that. I'll tell you that much. But no. For me, if I'm not getting like a plus 275, 300 consistently, like to hit a home run every single night, no. It's just not going to happen. The guy was on a tear. So home run prop bets really in the long term, I don't know of anyone that's good at it. Greg, you might be. I don't know anybody that's good at it. People go through runs and they are good for a little bit. And then you look at their unit count by the end of the year, it's not where it was when they got hot. So for me, it's not even a bet I consider.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And the only reason why you'd want to consider the no is just because the yes got up to a minus 175. And if you just keep taking a no on a guy to hit a home run at minus 200 or better, you know what? You're probably going to be able to make money, because hitting a home run, regardless of if you're Aaron Judge or if you're Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, it's very, very difficult to do. And I think that people downplay that just a little bit. So I do think that sometimes when you find some of these props, betting the no, betting the under, you just have so much more value, because people, they want to root for history. They want to root for scoring. They want to root for human achievement. When you bet on boring, typically you can make a little bit more money, just like when you have like these ridiculously low totals in college basketball.
Right.
It's actually
what was the no on Judge was? I didn't see it because I haven't even been betting it, but
most times I was seeing it at -$2. I could not find it for game 2. I would have to think that it was right around -$2. I didn't see it personally, just because it was one of these funky bunch doubleheaders where you just have the lines out only for like an hour or so, because the Texas Rangers were utilizing an opener as well. You didn't know who the starter was going to be, so I wasn't able to check on that quite in time. But for most nights from where Aaron Judge hit number 60 on forward, you're finding his yes right around plus 175. The no, it was in the neighborhood of $2. Some books are a little bit more stingy with the juice than others, but in that $2 ballpark is where I would have to guess it was that much like it's been throughout much of this. And you know what? If you just kept betting the no at minus $2, you're going to make quite a bit of money there. And I do think that that serves as a little bit of a reminder that you can make some money even in the latter part of the MLB season. But as we know, Holden, it is a little bit tougher this time of year. It is game number 162 for this podcast. And let's call it what it is. If there's going to be a day in which you want to take off of betting the MLB, if there's a day in which you want to tread lightly and only fire in if you really, really see big advantages, it is today, because we've got a lot of teams that are going to be making tee times. We've got a lot of teams trying to set their rotations for the wild card round / the divisional round and beyond. And this is really a tune-up game for all these teams. You've got a few teams that they might be wanting to try to see what they've got for future years, but this is certainly one of the strangest days to handicap in all of baseball, especially with there really being not any playoff implications with game 162 this season.
Yeah, I'm not desperate enough to bet it. There's other things to bet if I need to bet on something. And as a matter of fact, as we sit here tonight, I literally have not placed one single bet on a live event tonight. So this is very simple for me. Dig into football even more these 2 days, and then we'll worry about baseball. It's just a crapshoot at this point. You've got the last guys on a roster. You've got rookies. Who knows how they're using the pitchers? Who knows who's motivated as well, right? The last 2 days of the season, I don't bother touching them. I heard you were on one bet, which to me is fascinating because I just can't do it.
I was on a few. I like Zach Gallen for Tuesday just because he has been so stinking dominant since the All-Star break. And I had to take Cal Quantrill once again because with Cal Quantrill, the Cleveland Guardians, 15-1 in his last 16 starts entering into Tuesday. As we record this, it looks like they're going to go to 16-1 in his last 17 starts. That thing has just been a flamethrower all season long, and no reason to back off of it right now. So we shall see what happens with that. But I do think that we are going to be seeing that be something to watch for this upcoming postseason as well, because with the Cleveland Guardians, they've been doing a very nice job of just maneuvering here in the back half of the season, taking over that AL West. And I'm very intrigued by them because I do think that when it's all said and done, it is the Houston Astros in the American League. I really wouldn't consider much of a futures bet on any of those other American League teams, but I really think the way to be able to take a look at that American League playoff picture, because you're just not getting a lot of value in terms of the futures market right now on the Houston Astros, is just taking a look at some of these wild card / divisional round series, betting them game by game and trusting in some of these very good pitchers and the bullpen of a team like the Cleveland Guardians or the Tampa Bay Rays, because I do think that there's going to be a lot of series in the American League that they're going to be coming down to that very final game. They're going to be going the max. And I do think that you're able to maximize your bankroll by taking a look at a lot of these on a game by game matchup rather than trying to fire it out of future.
Yeah, I think a lot of the sharper people, if you were on the Astros, you were on the Astros maybe the beginning of the season, maybe you got in at the All-Star break, maybe even waited till earlier in the month. But at this point, you know, the futures market, you still get plus money, but you could have just done so much better. So I'm not going to mess with these teams. Maybe if I'm feeling a little frisky, Greg, maybe I'll do a little something with the Mariners. I like the Mariners. It's just a great story. It'd be a narrative bet just so I could say that I bet it. I don't know if I want to waste my money on that, though. But if you're going to bet a team, I mean, it's got to be one of these wild card teams. It's too bad if you miss the boat. So that's the first thing. Second of all, what is better than just sweating each and every individual game? I'm going to bet the games anyways, probably going to watch most of the games, and I'm going to bet them live. It's not even a market I need to dive into. There's just so many other ways to attack this thing. And Greg, I know you're going to dig into these games one by one. You get really deep into it, and that's the way it should be. I'm not worried about the futures, my friend. The only future I'm interested in, game one of these first series is going to be amazing.
And then you're speaking of the futures market as well, and I do think that when it comes down to it, there's really not a lot of value with regards to futures because, I mean, if anything, doing a money line rollover, I think, would lend much better results because with a money line rollover, if you get that bad matchup, like you were talking about the Seattle Mariners, if you think that they match up really badly with the Houston Astros, which I would say that they do, you get them in a few series and then they match up with the Astros and say the championship series, something along those lines. You can walk away from the table with your winnings, whereas with a actual future, you would have to be all locked in with it. You're able to shop the line in terms of the numbers themselves. So you might actually get more value just going series by series. And plus, you get a little bit of added protection. I don't know if that's something that you might consider, but I think that that's a much better way to go about it rather than trying to fire in on a future, because this just seems like the worst time right now to fire in on them.
I think that's a fine strategy, my friend. A little rollover action. Okay. The only future I'm on, by the way, to win, like all my MVP bets are dead. The Otani thing is dead. This is why I don't bet in very many futures. The only one that's alive, I had a $50 free bet, and I put it on the Dodgers. Long time ago. That's the team I'm rooting for here. I've got no allegiances anymore. The only team I'm rooting for is the Dodgers, Greg, unless I'm betting another team another night.
Hey, I don't blame you there. And with the Dodgers, as we are sitting here right now, we are unsure of how the game for Tuesday panned out, but 110 wins. So I would say that that is pretty stinking good for the LA Dodgers. And when it comes to the National League as well, they should be the odds-on favorite. I do think that, once again, you probably want to be betting that either series to series or game to game as well, because I do think that things are a little bit more competitive in the National League rather than the American League, because in the National League, you do have a team like the Atlanta Braves that since the beginning of the month of June, they have been dominant. If you're able to get Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer on the same page and get them firing all cylinders, that's big, though I do currently have my big-time concerns with Jacob deGrom because he has given up 3-plus runs in each out of his last 4 starts, so you do have your trepidations there. But still, even with a team like the St. Louis Cardinals, who have been able to do a solid job down the stretch, the Padres have been a big, fat disappointment, but at the very least, they do have talent on their side. I do think that there is a lot more intrigue in the National League than the American League, and I'd be much less surprised if the Dodgers don't get to the World Series rather than the Astros, just because it feels like the Astros have a cleaner path.
It's the playoffs, though. Every year, you just get shocked. Like one team goes in there and they get upset, and it just screws the whole order up. How many people were on Atlanta starting at the beginning of the playoffs last year? Do you remember, Greg? I don't off the top of my head. But, I mean, they just got hot, and they ran the table. And that's usually what happens. Now, when you're betting these teams, you're just hoping, all right, which team has the best depth? I know people don't like Dave Roberts, but Dave Roberts, to be honest with you, all these managers have major issues in game, okay? Dave Roberts is every bit as good as most of the other managers, good managers in this league. I hear it. There's a lot of people that don't want to hear it, but it happens. The playoffs, everything has to go your way to win a World Series. It doesn't matter how great your team is. Weird things happen in these small samples. It's baseball. You always see something that you've never seen before in a game. It's such a crapshoot. I like taking the best 25, 26 man, best 40 man roster, the depth of the organization, the manager, the front office. It really did point toward the Dodgers and the Astros in the preseason. No guarantees, though. We think they're the best teams. No guarantees they get through. We see this every year, Greg.
And it would be a rematch of a World Series that we saw a few seasons ago as well, which would add a little bit of spice as well. And I do think that if we do get that matchup, and it certainly is the favorite matchup, if you're taking a look at some of those odds to be able to pick just exactly who is going to be in the World Series, you can pick like Braves versus Astros, Astros versus Dodgers, so you're able to go down the line. That clearly is a favorite matchup to be able to have. But I do think that if we do get that, that'd be intriguing. But as we know, it is a case where last year you saw with the Atlanta Braves getting hot, and I bet them quite a bit game to game, and a team that I would have never, ever bet in the futures market came through as well, which is why I do think that you got a lot of value there. They were able to do their work as well, and a man that is doing absolutely amazing work is you, Holden, because, well, I know you're not going to be betting too much on these game 162 games, but I know when it comes to the postseason, you're going to be firing all cylinders. You're going to be doing a great job of gauging all this. I know you are very much taking a look at the NFL slate, doing a great job finding things, both in terms of sides and totals, but as well, player props, things from a daily fantasy perspective. You do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, at Holden Radio, you can check out everything I'm doing over there. Run Pure Sports, Run Pure Bets coming up Thursday night. What would that be, 7 o'clock Eastern? I always do my player prop show for the Sunday games because we try and hit those lines as soon as possible. Try and set the line as opposed to getting it a little bit later. CLV and player props really, to me, does stand out quite a bit. It just comes down to the wire so often. Doing that, Denver City Cast from Bet Rivers. And we've also got the Bettor, BETTOR network, just launched. Everybody from SiriusXM Fantasy, a couple of those guys started up their new network. It's terrific. It's an app. It's live betting. It shows. It's everything. So thanks for letting me plug this, GP. And it's always my pleasure to join you. Go Dodgers and go Mariners.
Yes, sir. Go Dodgers, go Mariners. And, well, for the Brewers, go make tee times because they did not do the world's greatest job towards the back half of the season, being someone from the great state of Wisconsin. A little bit salty about that, but you know what? The fades, they did make me a little bit of money, and a man that is able to make you a lot of money if you listen to him as well. That'd be Holden. It is always great to get him aboard. A big thanks to Holden Kushner for joining me right here on the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. Coming up next, a little bit of a murky board for Wednesday. It's game number 162, but I've got you guys covered, picks and analysis on every single game on the betting board as we touch them all on the other side.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say free this week into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Breaking down every game, every day in Major League Baseball. This is the Baseball Betting Show. Here is your host, Greg Peterson.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for the Baseball Betting Show with myself, Greg Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. It is always great to get Holden Kushner aboard. He does great work over at Run Peer Sports and Run Peer Bets. I know he does some great work whenever he contributes over here at VSiN as well. Always does an amazing job gauging a little bit of everything, whether you're a fan of football, whether you're a fan of baseball, he does it all. I know that he's done some great work as well when it comes to gauging college basketball as well. Big thanks to Holden for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board for this MLB Wednesday as we touch them all.
If a game is listed on the betting board, Greg has a side and a total on it, so it is time to touch them all.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at @unit_81, and boy, we are going to be probably having quite a few changes on this board. It is day number 162, if there's a day to tread a bit more lightly, as there's not going to be a lot of motivation for a lot of these teams, and as I am doing this, a lot of games, they are currently off the board, so I shall do my best to be able to find a little bit of value here. We're still going to have our DK Nation pick, as we do have a couple of set pitching matchups and got a good feel for a few of these. So without further ado, let's dive in on this first game of 9:51, 9:52 on the betting board. It is the St. Louis Cardinals. They are going to be taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates. We know that it is going to be Johan Oviedo going for the Pirates. To be determined, it's on the bump for the St. Louis Cardinals. Looks like it's probably going to be Matthew Liberatore along with a lot of the bullpen. So it's the game that's off the board. And if you do get Mr. Liberatore, someone who has been, well, not necessarily too terrific at the minor league level, I'd only be able to set the Cardinals right around a minus 143 in terms of them on the money line. 8.2 is my total, 8 or less looking at the over, 8.5 or higher to the under. St. Louis Cardinals, you got to figure, going to be probably giving quite a few guys the day off as they get set for the wild card round. Paul Goldschmidt has been in the lineup the last few days, but Nolan Arenado is not. I think that Arenado is probably going to be out of the fold once again in this one. Paul Goldschmidt, he's been able to slug out 35 home runs. He's got a 4 on base. Albert Pujols, you got to figure, is going to play in this game as well because they want to get him as many home runs and RBI before he departs as humanly possible. Juan Yepes has been getting a lot of time. He's hitting about a 255. Brandon Donovan has been able to move the line. And then when it comes to Pittsburgh Pirates, well, it is their last of Rob Miguel Andujar. They want to see what they're getting out of him because they picked him up off the scrap heap. You've had someone like Brian Hayes at about a 245 for this team. And Brian Reynolds has actually had a very nice season for this team. 27 home runs, hitting about a 260. O'Neill Cruz, Jack Swazinski, both of these guys have been able to slug out a combined about 35 or so home runs, Bo Swiznicki, Jason DeLay, really the entire catcher spot for this team. Got a lot of guys sitting at 220 or lower for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Would not be doubting it if they're trying to mix and match in terms of their bullpen arms. Junior Fernandez has actually been relatively solid for this team. Chase Young, a sub-3 ERA, but someone like a Miguel Yajur has posted up north of a 5 ERA. Robert Stevenson has not been terrific for the team. And then with Yoan Oviedo, he's actually been able to land some good starts here for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Gave up 2 runs in 6 innings in his last start on the road against St. Louis, which is his former team. And ever since he has gotten to Pittsburgh, they've been giving up quite a few starts. And the walks per 9 rate, that is high. He's been giving up north of 4 walks per 9 innings. But you know what? In 6 starts, he's posted up a 3.04 ERA. I do think that he's getting a little bit lucky. The strikeouts are there. He's getting 9 strikeouts per 9 innings. But also those walks, he's allowing a lot of men on base. Meanwhile, for the St. Louis Cardinals, if they do call up Mr. Liberatore, he had like a 5 ERA at the minor league level. He's not too terrific, but the bullpen itself has been able to do a relatively solid job. Ryan Elsley is up to ERA. Giovanni Gallegos has been solid. Got to figure that they're going to be trotting out their guys to just fill innings. I could see Jake Woodford probably pitching quite a few innings in this one. Someone that's been utilized as a long reliever. He's been posting up about a sub-250 ERA, so he's actually been halfway decent. Jorge Romero, they've been able to get a little bit of something out of him. Andre Pallante is a long guy that has been able to supply a 3.5 ERA. So I do think that the Cardinals just going to look to eat innings here. 8 or less looking at the over 8.5 or higher to the under. And if you get Liberatore, pretty much a bullpen game of the Cardinals, setting them at a -143. 953, 954 on the betting board. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they're on the road. They're facing off against the Milwaukee Brewers. Corbin Burnes is going to be going for the Brewers. Merrill Kelly is on the bump for Arizona. 7 is the total. The under is -120 and the over is even. With the Brew Crew, it's anywhere between -170 and -180 on their money line, between +155 and +160. The number on Arizona needed at least a +180 to take a shot on Arizona. I think the Corbin Burnes comes out, gives a good start. If you're looking at the run line of the Milwaukee Brewers, you're finding that at a +130 as Merrill Kelly just has not had a lot of great starts to end the season. As for Merrill Kelly, overall a 3.43 ERA, giving up about 2 home runs per 9 innings. He's been able to do a rock solid job on that front, and walks per 9 rate, that is hovering in the neighborhood about 2.7 to 2.8, but he's always had demonstrative home and road splits for his career, right around a 1.2 point difference between home and road ERA this year, 390 road ERA, compared to 302 home ERA. Now, I will throw this in there. He has struggled against the LA Dodgers and really nobody else. In 5 starts against the Dodgers, he has allowed 22 runs in 24 innings. If you take that out of the fold, he's got pretty much a 3 ERA, so that is something that you do want to note. But for Corbin Burnes, I feel like the light came back on for him in his last start against the Miami Marlins. 8 scoreless innings. Now, it was against the Miami Marlins, but it's now given up 3 runs or fewer in 4 out of his last 5 games. You're also able to take the glass half-empty approach as well. 5+ runs surrendered in 4 out of his last 8 games. So it's been all over the place for Burnes. And I will say for Burnes, he's honestly been worse at home than he has been on the road. Really over the last 2 seasons, 283 road ERA, a 312 home ERA. At home, he's been giving up about 1.2 home runs per 9 innings. So swing and miss stuff, boy, is it still certainly there. He's been getting about 11 strikeouts per 9 innings for the Milwaukee Brewers. It's a bullpen that is a little bit toasted. You got to figure that they're going to let Corbin Burnes go in this one. Peter Strzelcki has been solid in the bullpen with right around 3 ERA. Brad Boxberger a little bit north of a 3 ERA himself. But guys like Trevor Gott and company have not been terrific. Devin Williams overall for the season, a sub-2 ERA. But he's went down the toilet bowl a little bit. And for the years in the Diamondbacks, with the bullpen, it has been grody over the last 60 days. They've got an ERA that is north of a 5. Caleb Smith has been far from terrific for the team with right around a 4.20 ERA. Mark Melancon has been tough. Joe Mantiply, sub-3 ERA, but really past that, you have not been able to get a lot of production. But with the Arizona Diamondbacks, they get about 1.35 home runs per game when they are on the road compared to 0.85 at home, and they're doing a good job of moving the line. Jake McCarthy, Stone Garrett are both hitting above a 2.85. You got Christian Walker, Dalton Varsho, a combined 63 home runs out of those two gentlemen entering into Tuesday's tilt, and then these two guys, along Ketel Marte, Alec Thomas, are in between about a 235 to 245. So have guys like Geraldo Perdomo, Jordan Luplo, that they're not doing a solid job. But for the Brewers, they might be in a little bit of give-up mode. I don't think that they're going to be trotting out there quite the same lineup as they did on Tuesday, where you had Willy Adames and Rowdy Tellez get the night off. These two guys, along with Hunter Renfro, at least 29 home runs apiece. And for the Milwaukee Brewers, credit where credit is due in terms of power, as this is a bunch that, in terms of a home runs per game basis, they rank in the top 6 in the big leagues, but they've just been missing all season long. That table's setting bad, as you've gotten something out of Garrett Mitchell. Very small sample size, fewer than 60 at bats, but currently hitting about a 295, but then you do have Colton Wong, Renfro, I mentioned before, Christian Yelich hitting between about a 250 to a 258, and that's really about it for this Milwaukee Brewers team. I think that Burns going to be able to give a very good start. I think that Kelly's going to do a solid job as well. I think that run's going to be at the premium here. Something total at 6.6, so here at the 7, looking at the under, but I do think that Corbin Burns, he's going to be able to dominate in this spot. I do think that he's going to be able to end this season on a high note, looking at the Brewers on the run line as a result, getting plus 130. I needed at least a plus 115 to fire in there, so looking at the Brewers run line to go along with the total under. 955, 956 on the betting board. It is the Atlanta Braves. They're on the road. They're facing off against the Miami Marlins. To be determined on both sides for this game, and it looks like it's going to be Eliezer Hernandez who is going to be going for the fish. If the Braves have clinched the division, they are probably going to be utilizing a bullpen game and just eating innings there. If they have not clinched the division, you're going to get Max Fried, and if you get Max Fried, I'm setting him as minus 270 favorite. It's going to be a must-win game for the Atlanta Braves, and I do think that the Atlanta Braves are going to be able to win this game, and if you aren't going to be getting Max Fried, you're probably going to be getting someone like a Kyle Muller, something of that nature, and even with someone like a Kyle Muller and the bullpen, I would be setting the Atlanta Braves as a sizable favorite. They would probably be more like a $2 favorite rather than a minus 270 favorite, but either way, total is going to be set relatively low. If you do get Muller, probably going to be willing to go 7 or less to the over, 7.5 or higher to the under, with Fried going a 6.5 or less to the over, a 7 or higher to the under. Hard to give you as much with this, but with the Atlanta Braves, they are going to be able to, in my opinion, dominate the Miami Marlins regardless, because you've got a Miami Marlins team that currently has two guys in the lineup that has more than 9 home runs this season. It's just been really deplorable. John Brady has been able to steal some bases. He and Brian De La Cruz are both hitting between about a 235 to a 250. And credit where credit is due for our good friend Brian De La Cruz. Over the last 3 days, he's been hitting a 390. So he's actually caught quite a bit of fire. But guys like Brian Anderson, Jacob Stallings, Lewin Diaz, AC Sanchez, Avisio Garcia, they're hitting a 230 or lower. And then when it comes to the Atlanta Braves, you've got all the main managers for this team. Dansby Swanson, Austin Riley, Ronald Acuna Jr., William Contreras, Travis d'Arnaud, hitting between about 265 to 280. Austin Riley, he's been able to supply about 37 home runs this season. Matt Olson, he had a streak of a home run in 4 straight games that was ended in this series. He's been able to do a relatively solid job. And even some of the undersides like Orlando Arcia are doing a solid job for the team. Michael Harris II, he's really been able to put it together as well. And when it comes to Miami Marlins bullpen, it is quite a bit banged up. You do have a few guys that you're able to rely upon, like Richard Blyer, Dylan Floro. These guys are posting up about a 3.5 ERA along with Uscar Bozoban. And then for the Atlanta Braves, Kenley Jansen has not been too terrific, but that said, Rossy Iglesias, he's got a sub-1 ERA since coming to town. Dylan Lee has been able to give you a sub-250 ERA. Got to figure that someone like Jackson Stevens might be able to fill some innings, and he's been posting up a 3.40 ERA. He's a little bit more of a long guy, and over the last 3 days, he has not given up an earned run, so credit where credit is due for him. So I do think that with the Atlanta Braves, if you get someone like Kyle Muller, he should be a sizable favorite against a guy in Eliezer Hernandez that is giving up well over 2 home runs per 9 innings. It's not been good for him. North of a 5 ERA. Even at home, this guy's getting completely barbecued, and he's probably not going to lend a lot of length in general. So either way, Braves are going to be a sizable favorite. Going to have about a 75-cent difference between Fried, who's right around about a 272, to someone like a Kyle Muller. But 6.5 or less to the over, 7 or higher to the under with Fried. If you get more of a Braves bullpen game slash a mystery starter, 7 or less to the over, 7.5 or higher to the under. 957, 958 on the betting board. It is the Chicago Cubs. They are going to be on the road facing up against the Cincinnati Reds. Yes, we are on to Cincinnati, and they're on to Graham Ashcraft getting the start for them, and Adrian Sampson is going to be on the bump for the Cubbies, and the Cubbies are finding themselves anywhere between minus 115 to minus 120 favorites, and between even money and plus 105, the number on Cincinnati. Seeing a straight minus 113 pop up as well, and Dylan's game is 8 over and under are both at minus 110. I'm willing to go up to a minus 114 with the Cubs, so seeing that minus 113 right now, that is essentially the max I'm willing to lay with the Chicago Cubs, but it's a team that's caught fire, and I'm willing to lay it with them 9-2 in their last 11 games entering into Tuesday. And for the Chicago Cubs, they've been able to do a nice job in terms of their bullpen. You've had a lot of guys like a Manuel Rodriguez, Michael Rucker and company, they'll be able to step up. Rodriguez as in the neighborhood about a 3 ERA. Rucker for the year, it's been a right around a 4 ERA, but he's posted up a sub-250 ERA over the last 35 days, so he's been able to shape up a little bit. Brandon Hughes has been able to do a nice job in the bullpen, and credit where credit is due for this Reds bullpen. Ever since the All-Star break, they have been in the top half of the league in terms of bullpen ERA. Alexis Diaz and Fernando Cruz both posting up a sub-2 ERA. has been solid. Would not be surprised if we see some innings here for Connor Overton in a little bit of a long role, as they've utilized him a few times recently since he's come off the injury list. Was actually looking like a very promising starter for this team. Derek Law has come out of the bullpen. He's provided a sub-3.5 ERA as well. And really, for both of these teams, the offense has been a tad bit of a liability, but you are playing in Great American Ballpark where the ball is a flying end. Wilson Contreras, he is still playing very hard. He hits a home run yesterday. He's got a 345 on base. And then you got C.A. Suzuki, Nico Horner, Ian Apping between about a 265 to 280, along with a little bit of a young guy in Esteban Corrales, who has been able to reach base a few times. Patrick Wisdom, he's got 25 plus home runs, not necessarily hitting for average. Same goes for Franmil Reyes, power, but not necessarily a lot of average. And then the Cincinnati Reds, very top heavy lineup right now. Stuart Fairchild, Jonathan India, Jake Fraley, throwing their Kyle Farmer, in between about a 245 to a 260. Donovan Solano's back, sitting about a 290. But then you get into guys like Chucky Robinson, Austin Romine, Jose Barrero, a little bit of a younger infielder, Mike Sani, hitting at 225 or lower. So I do think that with these two guys on the mound in Ashcraft and Adrian Sampson, should be a lop up both of these lineups, because both of these guys very much pitch to contact gentlemen. As for Adrian Sampson, he's been a little bit lucky on the road this year, as he's actually been able to put up significantly better road numbers than home numbers. Overall for the season for Sampson, he's been giving up only about 2.3 walks per 9 innings. The strikeouts per 9 ERA, that's hovering in the neighborhood of 6, and he's got a 2.49 ERA, despite that giving up 2 home runs at 50 and 2/3 innings on the road. I just don't think that is going to be lasting too much longer. And then for a good friend, Mr. Graham Ashcraft, we have seen things go down the toilet bowl for him. He's made 2 starts since coming off the injury list, giving up 10 runs, 9 of which was earned. He was really doing a nice job towards the beginning of the season, but was never too much of a swing and miss guy, only getting about 6 punch outs per 9 innings. Opponents are now hitting a 285 off of him, and he's still giving up less than home run per 9 innings, but I did think that goes northward as well. This is just too low of a total in this spot, considering the starters and all the bullpen. They've been able to do a solid job, but I do think that these hitters are going to be able to feast in Great American Ballpark. Set my total at 8.6, looking over on with the Cubs. Won't lay up to a -113 with them. 959, 960 on the betting board. It is the New York Mets. They're going to be playing us to the Washington Nationals. Eric Fetty Wap is going to be coming for the Washington Nationals. For the Mets, it is to be determined. If they have a chance to be able to clinch the division, you might see Jacob deGrom in the starting. If you get Jacob deGrom in a clinch spot, I'm going to be setting the Mets right around like a -350, but with that said, if you don't have the Mets in a clinch spot, you're going to be getting the poo-poo platter of probably like David Peterson, Trevor Williams, guys like this, and I would still be willing to set the Mets probably in the neighborhood about a 225 to a 230, but trust me, big difference between Jacob deGrom and what you'd be able to get out of someone like a David Peterson. If you don't have a clinch spot, which it's looking like you're probably not going to, Steven Nogosic, he's probably going to be seeing some innings as well, just trying to wear it for this team. And he's posted up a sub-3 ERA as well, as this is not a terrible bullpen. Adam Ottavino, a little bit above a 2 ERA this season. Yoli Rodriguez has not been terrific. He's got a 4.55 ERA. Would not be surprised if the Mets throw him quite a bit in this game, though. 3 ERA over the last 3 days. He's been able to shape up a little bit. Drew Smith, since coming off the injury list, has not necessarily been himself. And then you do take a look at this Mets lineup, and Pete Alonso has been able to do an amazing job for this team. He's got over 120 RBI. He and Francisco Lindor, as a matter of fact, a combined north of 230 RBI this season, as these two gentlemen throw in their Brandon Nimmo, Mark Canna. They're in between about a 262 to a 275. And then you do have Jeff McNeil hitting nearly a 330 right now. He has been amazing for the team. Daniel Vogelback, since being acquired, he's been able to about a 265 for the team. And then I will say for Eduardo Escobar, since coming off the injury list, hitting north of a 300 for the Washington Nationals, they had a hot run where they scored 5 plus runs in 12 out of 18 games. As went straight down the toilet bowl recently, though. Joey Meneses still doing a nice job, getting a home run every 20 at bats. He's hitting at 325, and guys are able to move the line for this team. CJ Abrams, Cesar Hernandez, Eliermo Vargas, Lane Thomas. These are all guys hitting between about a 245 to a 258. Luis Garcia is hitting right around about a 275, so they've been able to do their part. And for the Washington Nationals, they've got a lot of veterans with pride. Someone like Kyle Finnegan has a sub-4 ERA. He's been okay for this team. Hunter Harvey, throw in there Carl Woods Jr., sub-3 ERAs out of these two gentlemen. Mason Thompson has not been as terrific recently. Overall for the season, a 330 ERA, more like a 5 ERA over the last 30 days, but he's been able to do a solid job as well. Once again, if you get guys like Trevor Williams, David Peterson, the poo-poo platter of pitchers for the Mets, we'll be setting them more around about a 235 to a 240 favorite, just because I really can't take a look at Eric Fetty Wap. on any sort of a big number here, because with our good friend Mr. Eric Fettywop, 5.27 ERA, 6-12 record, 5.31 road ERA, 5.23 home ERA. His walks per nine rate is north of 4. His home runs per nine rate is about 1.4 to 1.5. He doesn't get a lot of strikeouts, not a lot of redeeming qualities here. And if you get Jacob DeGrom versus Eric Fetty slash a bullpen game, I'm going to keep my total relatively the same. 7.5 or less, I'd be taking a look at the over, 8 or higher to the under, just because even if you get Jacob DeGrom out there, he has been a little bit more shaky, giving up 3-plus runs in each out of his last 4 starts, but I do think that you're going to see a little bit of scoring in this game, so that's where I stand here on a little bit of a mystery game. 961, 962 on the betting board. It is the San Francisco Giants are going to be hitting the road face-off against the Slam Diego Padres. Mike Clevinger is going to be going for the Padres. It is good old TB determined for the San Francisco Giants, so it is looking like you're going to be getting Alex Cobb, and if you do get the Padres versus the Giants, with it being Cobb versus Mike Clevinger, I would be saying the Padres more around a minus 142 favorite, and a total to where a 7 or less, I'd be looking at an over a 7.5 or higher. I would be diving in on the under with Mike Clevinger. He's been a jag, just a guy, and he's been okay when he has been at home, no doubt. Pitching in Petco Park, that certainly does help you out quite a bit, because you do take a look at the home and road splits of Mr. Clevinger. They're quite stark. 2.88 home ERA compared to a 5.46 ERA on the road. Now, I will say for Clevinger at home, he has given up the deep ball right around 1.8 home runs per 9 innings, but his opponent's batting average falls by about 51 points. He's someone that you're able to trust in. When he's in San Diego on the road, you want absolutely no part of him whatsoever. And if this sounds like an insert, it is, because it turns out that our good friend Alex Cobb actually ended up pitching on Tuesday as Carlos Rodon got scratched, so you got to figure that this is going to be another bullpen game for the San Francisco Giants, and with the San Francisco Giants, it has been a bullpen that has been used time and time again, so that is going to be a little bit of an issue, but the good news is you do have a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark out there in San Diego, so that is going to be a help out, and a lot of the guys in this bullpen for the San Francisco Giants, they are guys that have been stretched out to be able to pitch multiple innings, so I guess that's a little bit of upside for them. And for the San Diego Padres, they have had a little bit of a tough time being able to get offense generated when they've been at home, as they've had a lot of guys that have been very pedestrian all season long. Jake Cronenworth, Juan Soto, Jerickson Profar, Austin Nola, Ha-Seom Kim, all in between about a 238 to a 250. You were just expecting more in general from guys like Juan Soto, Josh Bell, Brandon Drury that they acquired at the trade deadline. And then for the San Francisco Giants, just been a really underachieving group in general for the entirety of the season. I wish I could call it anything else. Jock Peterson's been a bit above a 270. He's cranked out 23 home runs. You've been able to get some relatively solid production out of someone like a Wilmer Flores, who's been able to crank out a double-digit amount of bombs as well. But some of these guys, like a Mike Yastrzemski, hitting about a 225. Brandon Crawford all season long has been banged up. That has not been a great situation. J.D. Davis, since they acquired him, has not been too bad. Luis Gonzalez has moved the line. He, Austin Slater, in between about a 255 to 265. But for the Giants, I do think that they're going to try to figure out what they've all got in this bullpen as well. The bullpen was not working out towards the beginning of the season, but now you've got guys like Jordan Garcia, Scott Alexander, Jarrell Cotton, Camilo Duvall, Alex Young. They're all posting up a sub-3.3 ERA, so they've been able to do a nice job. I'll be able to find some nice pieces there for the San Diego Padres, not having the ball. Chrisman in the fold has hurt their bullpen a little bit. They've been able to do a good job of mixing and matching, though. Josh Hader has went, I believe now, 10 outings without allowing an earned run, so he's looked a little bit better. Robert Suarez has been posting up a sub-3 ERA along with Tim Hill, so these guys have been able to do a nice job for the San Diego Padres. And this is a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark, so with this now being a bullpen game instead of Alex Cobb, because I had Cobb more on about a plus 142, I set the Giants at a plus 183 in terms of this bullpen game. Mike Clevinger minus 183 would need at least a plus 115 to fire in on the run line. 7.5 or less, I'm going to be taking a look at the over rather than the 7 that I had with Cobb a little bit earlier, and then an 8 or higher, going to be taking a look at the under, as I do think that the Giants are going to be trying to make some match in terms of the bullpen. I think that they're finding a little bit more, but that said, this is now a tired Giants bullpen and a game that's involving lots and lots of moving pieces. 963, 964 on the betting board. It is the Colorado Rockies. They're on the road facing off against the LA Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw is going to be going for the Dodgers. For the Rockies, to be determined, is on the bump for them. I'm seeing one far away number with the Dodgers being a $4 favorite at plus 355 on the Rockies. With a total of 7.5, it's looking like it's going to be Chad Kuhl going for the Rockies. And that's what I've got projected. I mean, if we're getting a plus 355 and day 162, where the Dodgers are probably going to be resting guys, just for the heck of it, I'm going to be taking a stab there. Because with Clayton Kershaw, he's going to be getting the start. This is nothing more than a tune-up for him. Any even inkling of issues, they are going to be pulling the plug on him very early. And I will say, credit where credit is due for Clayton Kershaw. He has looked very good in his last five starts, giving up a combined 5 runs in his last 5 starts, going 6-plus innings in every one of them. Swing and miss stuff hasn't necessarily been as supreme. 7 strikeouts or fewer in 3 out of his last 4 starts, but he's given up 4 walks in this time span. Clayton Kershaw looks like he's really rounding into form right now, so he has been able to do a nice job there. And as a matter of fact, the last time he gave up more than 2 runs in a start, you have to go all the way back to July. So that is a very good sign for the LA Dodgers, but you got to figure that for the Dodgers, they aren't going to be having Clayton Kershaw go out there and throw 100-plus pitchers or anything like that. Plenty of guys like Alex Vesia, Evan Phillips, Chris Martin, Yancy Almonte, guys like this, Caleb Ferguson, that have all been able to supply a sub-3 ERA for this bullpen. And then for the Colorado Rockies, if you give Chad Kuhl a start, he's given up 3-plus runs in 12 out of his last 13 starts. He has not been great for this team, to say the least. Ironically enough, if you throw a bullpen game instead of Chad Kuhl, I probably like it a little bit more than if you do throw out there Chad Kuhl. In his last start against the LA Dodgers on the road, gave up 6 runs in 3 1/3 innings. And take a look at his numbers in September. He made 6 total starts and a 7.76 ERA, giving up right around 3 walks per 9 innings, but he gave up 7 home runs in 29 innings. Now, for the LA Dodgers, you got to figure that they're probably giving some of these guys a little bit of rest. Mookie Betts is probably a prime candidate for this. They did trot out there most of their normal guys yesterday, as Max Muncy, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, all guys with between 20 and 21 home runs were out there. Will Smith, he was not getting jiggy with it yesterday, but he's been someone that's been able to crank out 23 bombs. Justin Turner sitting at 280 for this team along with Gavin Lux, so you got plenty of firepower there. And with the Colorado Rockies, CJ Cron, got to figure that they're going to try to get him to 30 home runs. He's got 29 for the season. Problem is, only 7 of them have come on the road. With the Rockies, you've always got these very demonstrative home and road splits, like Randall Grichuk is hitting 100 points better when he's in Colorado rather than on the road. And for the Rockies, they entered into the game on Tuesday 26-53 on the road. Though I will say, they had 1-2 of their last 3 going into yesterday, so they've been able to do a little bit better for the LA Dodgers. They've won 110 games. There's really not much left for them to achieve. They should be a sizable favorite, but if you're giving me something ridiculous like a plus 350, even with poopy Chad Kuhl out there, I'd be willing to take that in. If you do get Kuhl versus Kershaw, like I'm thinking, I would be setting this total at 7.7 to where a 7.5 or less, I'd be looking at the over, which we're seeing a 7.5, so I'd be taking a look at that over, and an 8 or higher, I would be taking a look at this total under. 965, 966 on the betting board. It is the LA Angels. They hit the road to face off against the Oakland A's. Ken Waldichuk is going to be going for the A's, and Shohei Ohtani is going to be on the bump for the Angels. And for the Angels, they are between minus 240 and minus 245. Favorites anywhere between plus 205 and plus 216 is the number on Oakland. 7 is the total. The under is minus 120 and the over is even. When it comes to Shohei Ohtani, I set him as a minus 266 favorite on the money line. If you're looking at the run line, it's a minus 140. This is someone I honestly do think is going to be seeing its full allotment of innings in this one. I think that they're going to let him go. I think that they want Shohei Ohtani to put on as good of a performance as humanly possible for the MVP. I think that the MVP is going to Aaron Judge. You can have your thoughts about that as well. I'm not going to dive into that discussion as of right now, but with that said, what I will say about Shohei Ohtani is that you got to feel like he, in his heart of hearts, probably wants to put out there the best performance humanly possible, and I think that he's going to dominate an Oakland A's team that, well, they've just been sad and pathetic at the plate all season long. They're hitting about .210 at home this season, and for Shohei Ohtani, he should be able to put up a very nice expose of pitching, as he all season long has been able to get right around 12 strikeouts per 9 innings. Even on the road, he's got about a 3 ERA. He has been completely dominant, and he's going up against an Oakland A's team that got Seth Brown and Sean Murphy been able to combine for 43 home runs, but Murphy's really the only guy that has seen more than 50 at-bats at sitting above a .240, which is really sad. Connor Capel, in a very small sample size, is at a .320, but and he started like 12 games or something like that, and then you got guys like Christian Buffet, Ernie Clement, Nick Allen, Shea Langelaris, who are getting at-bats means our guy's sitting at 225 or lower. And for the LA Angels, Todd LaFold has actually been very good for this team. Shohei Ohtani, Mike Trout, a combined 73 home runs, both hitting between about a 275 to 280. Taylor Ward is hitting like a 350 over the last 30 days. He has been ending the season on a flurry. Anthony Rendon saw a start yesterday. I guess that I'm going to try to get him a little bit of a booster going into 2023. Luis Renifo, he's been solid. He's hitting about a 270 as well. And for the LA Angels, they've been able to find some nice young pieces in the bullpen. Guys like Andrew Vaughn, Zach Weiss, Jimmy Herget. These are guys posting up a sub-3.3 ERA. Jose Quijada has been a little bit all over the place. He's seeing his ERA expand to 4. But for the Oakland A's, this is a bullpen that is all sorts of banged up for them as well. They're currently dealing with Danny Jimenez, Sam Moll, throwing their Zach Jackson as well. All these guys deal with injuries. So now you get guys like Sam Selman, Kirby Snead, posting up north of a 5 ERA. Tyler Seale, Domingo Acevedo, they've been solid. And AJ Puck overall for the season is right around 3.17 ERA, but he's been used up very much since the All-Star break. And when it comes to Ken Waldichuk, he's someone that I think has a little bit of upside, but he has struggled here at the big league level, giving up 5 home runs in 27 and 2/3 innings, so a home run per 9 rate that is north of 1.5. He's given up 3 walks per 9 innings, and he's got good swing and miss stuff. He just doesn't do a good job of being able to hit his location, and as a result of him not hitting location, he has been hit hard, giving up at least 4 runs in 3 out of his last 4 starts. I do think that the Angels are certainly going to be able to put up a nice number on him. I did set my total more on an 8 in this spot, so I'm going to be taking a look at this total over, and when it comes to the LA Angels, I'm going to be taking a look at them on the run line. Now we're going to be going to a rare doubleheader because the Blue Jays and the Orioles, they got washed out on Tuesday, so now we're going to be getting 967, 968, and 981, 982 in conjecture with one another, and you got a lot of mystery starters in terms of this one for the Toronto Blue Jays. You got to think that Mitch White is going to be starting one of these games, and then one of the other games is going to be a bullpen game with Yusei Kikuchi, seeing quite a few bulk innings, and then it's going to be Spencer Watkins and Mike Bauman. We're going to be starting these two games. Bauman probably going to be going in the 981-982 game, which I do think is going to be Mitch White, which if you were taking a look yesterday, I set that one as a relative pick'em with Mike Bauman being a -103 favorite and a 9.3 total to wear a 9 or less. I'd be taking a look at the over 9.5 prior to the under. We saw that on the number in which it was up before things got postponed with the Baltimore Orioles being right around a -125 to a -135 favorite, which if you get that on Mitch White, honestly, I'd be willing to take it. Neither of these guys are too terrific for Mike Bauman. He's been giving a lot of starts where he goes 4, maybe 5 innings, and then from there he gives up about 2 runs, and that's sort of what I'm expecting here. Both of these teams are going to be clearing out the bullpen. They're going to be looking for any way humanly possible to just get through it. And for Mitch White, he is probably not going to be making the postseason roster. He has not been good this season since coming over from the LA Dodgers, where he had a 370 ERA. He was halfway respectable with the LA Dodgers, but he has had, since coming over to the Toronto Blue Jays, an ERA of a 737. He's been missing his location with over 5 walks per 9 innings. Now, I will say this for the Blue Jays, they're probably going to be utilizing quite a few bullpen pieces in this, and got a lot of guys that are posting up a sub-3 ERA. Joe Romano, Yimi Garcia, Adam Simber, David Phelps, all these guys have been able to give you a sub-3.2 ERA. Tomeza, more around a 3.25 ERA. Anthony Bass has been solid since coming over from the Miami Marlins. And for the Baltimore Orioles, we have really seen this bullpen ERA go northward since September 1st. This bunch has ranked in the bottom 6 in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. They're currently without Felix Bautista, so you might see a little bit more of DL Hall, who's able to be a long guy, but he's got a 6 ERA. You still have Dylan Tate, Cionel Perez, both of these guys, a sub-3 ERA on the season, but Keegan Aiken, he has not been pitching too well for this team. Bo Solzer is someone that is probably going to be filling some innings along the Yennier Cano and his 12.38 ERA, so the Orioles, we're going to call it what it is. They're trying to get out their young guys, trying to see what they've got for 2023 and beyond. You got to figure that the normal starters are going to be out there in terms of the lineup for the Baltimore Orioles. Has got a lot of guys sitting between about a 248 to a 260. Cedric Mullins, Ramon Urias, Gunnar Henderson, Kyle Stowers, Adley Rutschman, along with Austin the Say's kid, and then even throw in there Taron Vavara. These guys have been solid. And then for Santander, he has been able to supply 33 home runs. Anthony Santander hitting about a 243. And then you've got Ryan Mountcastle, who's since the All-Star break has been hitting below a 230, but he's got overall for the season 22 home runs. And then for the Toronto Blue Jays, five different guys that'll be able to slug out at least 24 home runs. Bo Bichette, Matt Chapman, George Springer, Teoscar Hernandez, Vlad Jr. And then the only of these guys hitting below 265 is Chapman with a 325 on base. Alejandro Kirk, he's hitting about a 285. You know, the guys like Lourdes Gurriel, the full guys like Remy Altapia have been able to step up. So I do think that if we get Mitch White as right around a plus 115 underdog like we were seeing when this game went off the board yesterday, it's worth taking a look at the over. And total of 7, and Mike Bauman versus Mitch White when it was pulled off the board was just way too stinking low. I'd be taking a look at the over in that spot as well. And then if you do get what I'm thinking we're going to be getting in game 2, which is going to be Spencer Watkins for the Baltimore Orioles and Yusei Kikuchi and the bullpen of the Toronto Blue Jays, this is another one of these games in which it's a relative pick-em. I set the Baltimore Orioles literally at a minus 101. Whatever team is getting plus money, that's what I would be firing in on personally. And it's another total in which I'll be taking a look at the over if you're getting a 9 or less. If you're getting 9.5 or higher, that'll be my buy point on the under. But if you're getting Yusei Kikuchi, he's got north of a 5 ERA. He has been a complete and utter nightmare. Now, whether out in Baltimore, not necessarily too terrific, but I do think that you're going to see a nice offensive display in both games. In both games, a 9 or less, I'll be taking a look at the over. And both games are relative pick-em to where whatever team is getting plus money, I will be firing it on them. 969, 970 on the betting board. It is the New York Yankees. They're going to be on the road facing off against the Walker Texas Rangers. Glenn Otto is going to be going for the Rangers. Domingo Germán is going to be on the bump for the Yankees. And the Yankees are finding themselves between minus 145 and minus 150 favorites. Anywhere between plus 130 and plus 135 is the number on Texas. 7.5 is the total. The under is minus 115 and the over is minus 105. Did set the Yankees at a minus 160. Domingo Germán, I do think he wants to prove a little bit of something going into the postseason. And for Domingo Germán, he's actually been able to lend some very solid starts. I think that he's been a little bit lucky because swing and miss stuff has not really been supreme with him. A little bit under 7 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's been giving up about 1.2 home runs per 9 innings, but has done a nice job holding down the fort. A 3.31 ERA, including a 2.86 ERA on the road. On the road, he's given up about 1 home run per 9 innings. And with his walks per 9 rate, that's about a 2.3. So he's done a good job there. And for Glenn Otto, somehow, someway, he has been an absolute nightmare when he has been at home. 5.63 home ERA compared to a 4.06 ERA on the road. He's been a little bit better recently. In his last 5 starts, he's given up 12 earned runs over the course of 25 innings, and he has lessened the walks as well. 5 walks in his last 25 innings. Prior to this stretch, he was giving up more like 5 walks per 9 innings, so he has been able to do a little bit of better job there. But both of these bullpens are going to be a bit exhausted after the double dip that we saw on Tuesday. But with the New York Yankees, I still think that they're going to have a little bit of something to play for because Aaron Judge, he is still trying to make history as going into game 2. He was still stuck on home run number 61. He's looking to get the triple crown, so a lot to play for there. Harrison Bader, he's looking to prove a little bit of something as well, that he was a good acquisition. Between he, DJ LeMahieu, Jose Trevino, all these guys are in between about a 245, 2260, along with as well, Waldo Cabrera has been able to do a nice job since he got called up. You've got Giancarlo Stanton, Anthony Rizzo combining for a little bit over 60 home runs this season, but these two gentlemen, Aaron Hicks, Josh Donaldson, playing at 230 or lower. And for the Texas Rangers, wouldn't be surprised if Corey Seager has been dealing with a little bit of an ailment, misses this game, but you still got Avisio Garcia, Marcus Semien, Nate Lowe, all with between 26 and 27 home runs. Seager a little bit north of 30, and when it comes to Nate Lowe, he's hitting a 300. Other three gentlemen that have been mashing, they're hitting between about a 245 to 255. Leody Taveras has been able to about a 260 along with Bubba Thompson, so these guys have been doing a solid job. And for the Texas Rangers, Brock Burke, Matt Moore, they've been able to give you a sub-2.5 ERA. A lot of usage yesterday, including to Jonathan Hernandez, so he might not be available along with Brock Burke, so might be seeing more of these longer guys like a Taylor Hearn, AJ Alexi, so that should lead to a few runs in this game. And for the New York Yankees, they're just looking to get through it with as few injuries as possible. It's Rob Mananacchio got injured over the weekend. That's honestly too terrific. They used Aroldis Chapman in a little bit of a spot yesterday. Wouldn't be surprised if they use him once again today just to see what they've got out of him. Going into the postseason, Scott Efrits has posted up a sub-3 ERA. Clay Holmes, you probably want to try him out there. Along Clark Schmidt, a little bit of a longer guy. He's been posting up a 3.25 ERA. way. I do think that the advantage goes to the Yankees. I think that they're still a little bit motivated with Aaron Judge trying to make some history. So I am willing to take a look at the New York Yankees in this spot. And if you're looking at the Yankees on the run line, find that at a plus 120. I was willing to take pretty much any sort of a plus price. So I'll be taking a look at that run line. And I set my total at 8.2, especially with the exhaustion from what we saw out of the bullpens on Tuesday. So looking at this total over 971, 972 on the betting board, it is the Kansas City Royals on the road facing off against the Cleveland Guardians. Aaron Savali is going to be going for Cleveland, and John Heasley is on the bump for the Royals. 7 FCC total over and under, both at minus 110 with Cleveland. They are minus 175 favorite, plus 160 is your number on the Royals. And run line in this spot is currently off the board, but I'd be personally taking a look at a run line. I set the Guardians more on a minus 215 favorite, and I was willing to lay up to a minus 108 on the run line, so I do think that that is where I'm going to be falling. Aaron Savali looking to prove a little bit of something, and perhaps that he might be worth a start in a game, perhaps a little bit further down the line if the Guardians are able to survive in advance through the wild card round. As for Aaron Savali, he's been banged up all season long, but he's been able to do a lot of his best pitching down the stretch. He has given up 3 earned runs or fewer in all but one of his starts since the All-Star break, so that has been looking relatively terrific. And the Guardians are actually winning a lot of Aaron Savali's starts. 6-1 in his last 7, as he's really been able to shape up, especially at home. 5.88 road ERA compared to a 3.92 home ERA. And if you take a look at his ERA overall for the season, it's a 5.04. His fielding independent is nearly a full point lower. For Savali, about 1.2 home runs per 9 innings, 2.1 walks per 9. He's getting 8.8 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's just been very unlucky on the balls in play, so it's not been great. The fielding behind him has been far from terrific. He's been the victim of 5 unearned runs. And then for John Heasley, this guy is just giving out a whole bunch of walks right now. His walks per 9 rate is about a 4.2 to a 4.3. He's given up about 1.8 home runs per 9 innings. He has been better on the road than at home. 4.24 road ERA compared to a 5.81 home ERA. But he has faced off against the Guardians twice. He's allowed 9 runs in 7 1/3 innings. Despite the fact that the Guardians, they rank at the bottom 5 in the big leagues in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. You've got a Guardians team that they do a very good job of moving the line, as Will Brannon, Amed Rosario, Stephen Kwan, Andrés Giménez, you're able to throw in there Oscar Gonzalez and Jose Ramirez, owing at least a 275 for the team. Ramirez, really the lone guy that has been a big home runner, 29 home runs, north of 120 RBI. You do have Giménez along Josh Naylor, both hitting between about 17 to 19 home runs. Naylor's been hitting about a 250. Do have a couple guys like in Austin Edges and Gabriel Arias towards the bottom of the fold that have not been great, but Guardians, fewest strikeouts on a per at-bat basis in baseball. And then for the Kansas City Royals, you still got quite a few guys with some pride. Salvador Perez has pretty much been shut down, but still have young guys with something to prove, like Drew Waters, Nate Eaton, Bobby Witt Jr., all hitting between about a 250 to a 265. Vinny Pascantino, he's hitting about a 290. So he's coming off the injured list. He has been terrific at Olivares. He's hitting about a 285. Mike Mancini has been able to do a solid job, really, other than Bobby Witt Jr. He's got north of 20 home runs. Not a lot of power. And for the Kansas City Royals, got to figure that they're going to be trotting out there some of their bullpen pieces that they're hoping to see a little bit more from. Luke Weaver, who they acquired at the trade deadline and has been terrible with north of a 6 ERA. Jackson Coar, who is a young prospect who's got north of a 9 ERA. Carlos Hernandez, guys like this, they're probably going to be seeing some innings in this ordeal. And for the Cleveland Guardians, wouldn't be surprised if you see a little bit of Kirk McCarty action coming out of the bullpen, as he has not necessarily been too terrific with a north of 4 ERA, but got Emmanuel Clase, Anya De Los Santos, James Karinchuk, Nick Sandlin, Trevor Steven, all posting up a sub-3 ERA. These guys have been amazing, so you still have even good options when you get into the back half of this Cleveland Guardians bullpen, so I do think that they're going to be able to do a solid job, and I do think that both offenses are going to be able to put up some runs. Some I tell is 7.9, so looking at the over and with the Guardians, I'm going to be siding with them on the run line unless we see something quite harebrained. 973, 974 on the betting board. It is the Tampa Bay Rays. They're on the road. They're facing off against the Boston Red Sox. Nick Pavetta is going to be going for the Red Sox. I was seeing initially Drew Rasmussen going for the Tampa Bay Rays. This is subject to a little bit of change, so this is a game that's presently off the board. If it would be Drew Rasmussen, I'd be setting the Rays as a minus 137 favorite. If it's someone like Ryan Yarbrough, Rays would probably be more in that neighborhood, about a minus 110 to a minus 112-ish. So this is very much subject to a little bit of change. I'm not seeing any numbers up on this game as of right now, but got to figure that the Rays are going to be trotting out there a lot of their regulars in terms of the lineup, as you really don't have too many home run hitters to bench, as you've got two guys that have hit north of 12 home runs for the team this season, Randy Arozarena and Isaac Paredes. And for Paredes, He, along with someone like a Rene Pinto, throw in their Taylor Walls. They're hitting a 225 or lower, so haven't been able to get a lot of production there. Harold Ramirez, he's hitting a 300 for this bunch. Wander Franco, Manuel Margot, Randy Arozarena hitting between about a 262, 2280 for this bunch. And Yandy Diaz, north of 400 on base. It's but you don't have a lot of power with the Rays. They do a solid job of moving the line. And for the Tampa Bay Rays, they've been able to do an amazing job with this bullpen in general. JT Chargois, Garrett Clevenger have been able to be innings eaters. You've got Jason Adam and Pete Fairbanks posting up a sub-2 ERA. Brooks Raley, a sub-3 ERA. Flip side for the Boston Red Sox, this bullpen is just horrible. You've got Darwinson Hernandez, Ryan Brazier, Matt Barnes, Franklin German, Caleb Ort, all posting up north of a 5 ERA. They're without Garrett Woodlock. Matt Stram has a 4 ERA. John Schreiber, he's been able to give you a sub-3 ERA. And for Nick Pivetta, you got to feel like he's going to want to have a little bit of pride in this spot. 581 home ERA compared to a 432 road ERA. Things have not been the best for him. Towards the back half of the season, last 5 starts, he's given up 16 runs, so a 568 ERA, giving up 6 home runs in the same span. And walks per 9 rate has been right around 5 in that span as well. He's had a tough time against the Tampa Bay Rays, giving up 13 runs in 15 and 2/3 innings across his 3 starts as well. If you do get Drew Rasmussen, he has been a little bit up and down recently as well. I'm sort of leaning towards this being a bullpen game since I think that seeding is all done in the American League. I could be mistaken on that, but if you do get a bullpen game of the Rays, we'll be setting them more around a minus 110, minus 137 if you do get Drew Rasmussen in this spot, because with the Boston Red Sox, you got to feel like there's still going to be some guys with pride trying to close out the season strong, as Rafael Devers, Alex Verdugo, Christian Arroyo, all in between about a 282, 295. And for Devers, 27 home runs. He's been the main matchup for the team, but really nobody else has north of 17 home runs for the team. Tommy Pham, hanging a little bit above a 250, is that guy. JD Martinez, it's been a little bit better recently. And they got back Eric Hosmer yesterday. He and Martinez are in between about a 265 to 275. So yip-de-doo there, and you've got Xander Bogaerts hitting at 300. So I do think that you're going to see a little bit higher scoring game. Semi-total with Rasmussen at an 8.2. With the bullpen game, probably will be right around the same, where an 8 or less, I'd be looking at an over and a half higher to the under. And if you get Rasmussen, sizable favorite at a minus 137. Bullpen game more on a minus 110 on the Rays. 975, 976 on the betting board. It is the Chicago White Sox. They are going to be playing us to the Minnesota Twins. Louis Varland is going to be going for the Twins, and Davis Martin is on the bump for the White Sox, and the White Sox are between minus 128 and minus 135 favorites, and between plus 115 and plus 120 is the number on Minnesota. 7.5 to 8 is the total on the 8. Under is minus 120. The over is even. On the 7.5, the over is minus 120, and the under is even. For the Chicago White Sox, set them as a minus 133 favorite. So I'm going to be willing to lay it with Davis Martin. Was very impressed by his last start in San Diego. And for the White Sox, they know that Tony La Russa is not going to be coming back. So perhaps they're going to be looking to put on a nice display for whether it be the gentleman that is currently the interim manager in Miguel Cairo or someone else that, hey, you know what, we want a good manager, because if we're managed properly, you know what, we might be able to do a little bit of something. And for Davis Martin, he's been able to do a solid job on the road as compared to at home. Home ERA of a 5.16, 2.77 ERA on the road. But by and large, I do like this kid's stuff. Not necessarily going to give you a lot of swings and misses, about 7 strikeouts per 9 innings, but the walks per 9 rate is about a 2.3. He's been giving up less than a home run per 9 innings. Louis Varland was okay at the minor league level. Not necessarily the world's greatest strikeout artist or anything like that. He's getting about 7.5 strikeouts per 9 innings here at the big league level, giving up 4 home runs in 21 innings. But by and large, he's been able to do a solid job when he faced off against the White Sox about a week or so ago. Gave up 2 runs in 5 innings. He gave up 2 walks along the way. Nothing great, nothing terrible there. And both of these teams backed up by okay bullpens. Nothing great, nothing terrible. Yoan Duren, he has been amazing for this Twins team all season long. A sub-2 ERA. And Giovanni Morin, a sub-250 ERA along with Jorge Lopez. Lopez hasn't been the same since coming over to Minnesota, but by and large, he's been able to do an okay job with this team. Caleb Theobar has been good down the stretch as well. And then for the Chicago White Sox, you've got Jimmy Lambert, Reynaldo Lopez, sub-3-2 ERAs in this bullpen. Aaron Bummer has not been a bummer as well. He's been solid. Kendall Graveman has not been the same down the stretch. He and Liam Hendricks, though, have been solid in the 8th and 9th inning. And really the problem for both of these teams is that they don't have a lot of home run power. For the Chicago White Sox, Elvis Andrews, since he got to town, he and Andrew Vaughn have been hitting between about a 270, 280. But these two guys, along with Eloy Jimenez and Jose Abreu, were both hitting a little bit above a 300. They've all got between about 14 to 17 home runs this season. Then you've been able to get some production out of someone like a Rami Gonzalez Gonzalez, AJ Pollock, Evan Sheets hitting between about a 240 to 250, but no home run power to those guys either. And for the Minnesota Twins, not having Byron Buxton and Jorge Polanco certainly hurt this team. And you still have Carlos Correa hitting north of a 285. He's been able to give you 20 plus home runs. Yoel Chávez hitting about a 285 himself. And then Jose Miranda, Nick Gordon, these are guys moving the line, hitting between about a 265 to 275. Towards the bottom, full guys like Brian Jefferson and company have been not so terrific. I do think that both of these young guys are going to be able to do a solid job. I could see some interesting bullpen use in this game as well. So it's a scenario in which I set my total at 8.2, looking at the over. I'm willing to lay up to a minus 133 when it comes to the White Sox. 977, 978 on the betting board will be the DK Nation pick, as we got the Detroit Tigers on the road facing off against the Seattle Mariners. Marco Gonzalez is going to be going for Seattle, and Tyler Alexander is going to be on the bump for Detroit. 7 is the total. The over is minus 115. The under is minus 105. With Seattle, minus 215 is the number on them. Plus 185 is the line on the Detroit Tigers. And if you're taking a look at the run line in this spot, you're finding the Seattle Mariners at a plus 105. I was willing to fire in on the Tigers at a plus 171 or greater, so I'm going to be taking a shot there. And this is just purely a fade of Marco Gonzalez, and that's going to lead into the DK Nation pick, as I set my total at 7.8, even at a 7.5, I'd be willing to take a shot on this total over. If you take a look at Marco Gonzalez overall for the season, his ERA is about a full point lower than his fielding independent, which means I do think that he's doing to give up quite a few runs in this spot. Gonzalez is getting just 5 strikeouts per 9 innings. His walks per 9 rate is still decent. It's a 2.5 walks per 9 inning rate, and he has been able to do a little bit of a better job at home rather than on the road. You're going to notice that Seattle, especially during the nighttime, it is a little bit more pitcher-friendly. Now, unfortunately for him, this is more of a daytime game out in Seattle, as all these games are being started between about 1 to 125, aside from game 1, that doubleheader between the Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles. But for Marco Gonzalez, giving up about a home run and a half per 9 innings while getting that lack of strikeouts, that is a little bit concerning. And then when it comes to Marco Gonzalez as well, about a 3.50 home ERA, and road ERA is a little bit north of 5. And the Seattle Mariners, they did have to burn through a lot of their bullpen pieces on Tuesday because of the doubleheader, which means that they're probably going to be asking Marco Gonzalez, someone that does give up quite a few fly balls, to just sort of wear it in the spot as well. And for Seattle, this is a little bit more of a formidable offense because Julio Rodriguez was able to come back in the fold a few days ago for the team. Now you got to figure that they're going to have more of their dead bats like a Jared Kelnick, Abraham Toro, Kurt Caselli get a few more reps in this game in preparation of the wildcard round. But still, Mitch Haniger and Eugenio Suarez, every guy sitting between about 235 to 245, they're able to go yard, including our guy in Suarez, north of 30 home runs this season. Ty France has been able to 275 as well. And for the Detroit Tigers, you got to figure that they're going to try to get Miguel Cabrera a few more at-bats, as he, Riley Green, Eric Haas, Victor Reyes, all in between about a 250 to 260. Now, you got guys like Akil Badu, Spencer Torkelson, Jameer Candelario hitting at 220 or lower that have not been great. And what else has not been terrific is a bullpen recently for the Detroit Tigers as well, as they had to use up Alex Lang and Andrew Chafin in game 1 yesterday. That's not terrific. If you take a look since the beginning of the month of August, right around about a 4.50 ERA for this bullpen, which does rank in the top 10 in terms of ERA overall. Would not be surprised if we see this team utilize someone like an Elvin Rodriguez, who's got like a 10 ERA. I mean, he has not been too terrific. Miguel Diaz, they're trying to see what they've got out of him. Jose Cicerano has been solid, but you've got a lot of less than trustworthy bullpen pieces for the Detroit Tigers. And I will say, for Tyler Alexander, he's actually been a little bit better recently in his last few starts, as he has now allowed 3 runs or fewer in each out of his last 3. Prior to that, he had given up 3 plus runs in 5 out of his last 6, and this is another guy that does not get a lot of swings and misses. About 5.4 strikeouts per 9 innings, giving up just under 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. 5.58 ERA on the road this season. That is far from terrific. When he went up against the Seattle Mariners earlier in the season, gave up 2 runs in 4 and 2 thirds innings, but nice at backed up by as supreme of a bullpen that it is very taxed. So set my total at 7.8, even though it is a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark in Seattle. Both of these teams are gassed with having to play a double dip yesterday, so I think that both starters, a pair of starters that just aren't frankly very good, are going to give up quite a few runs. So looking at the over in this spot, and when it comes to the Detroit Tigers, wanted to take a look at that plus price as well. And we wrap things up with 979, 980 on the betting board. It is the Houston Astros. They're going to be playing host to the Philadelphia Phillies. Bailey Falter is going to be going for the Phils. Bronver Valdez is going to be going for Houston. Houston between a minus -172 to a -180 favorite. Between +155 and +162 is the number on Philadelphia. 7.5 is the total. Unders between -115 and -125. Overs between -105 and +105. The run line of the Astros is at a +130, and I was willing to lay a number with the Houston Astros run line, so I'm going to be taking a shot there. This is just purely a fade of Bailey Falter. Framber Valdez had a streak of 25 straight starts in which he went 6-plus innings before having a little bit of regression in his last 2 years, getting a bit fortunate on balls in play. Framber Valdez still does a solid job of getting strikeouts, right around 8.2, 8.3 strikeouts per 9 innings, but for how often he was having the ball get put in play, you figured that he was going to give up a few runs, and he has actually been significantly worse at home than on the road. 3.76 home ERA, 2.27 ERA on the road, giving up just 11 home runs in north of 196 innings. But for Bailey Falter, he was very much the beneficiary of going up against bad competition in general. As for Bailey Falter, he has given up 3 runs or fewer in now 7 out of his last 8 starts, but 2 starts against the Miami Marlins, he went up against the Diamondbacks, the Pirates, the Washington Nationals in that span. His bad start came against, shock, shock, surprise, surprise, the Atlanta Braves. So I do have trepidations there. Now, Falter has actually been significantly better on the road than at home. Once again, take a look at the competition that he's playing against. 2.47 road ERA compared to a 5.49 home ERA, but overall, he's given up about 1.7 home runs per 9 innings. Does a good job with regards to command, only about 1.9 walks per 9 innings, but he does have to go up against the Houston Astros lineup that we saw them completely smoke the Philadelphia Phillies yesterday. Phillies are not going to want to dive into their bullpen too much because they're already dealing with injuries to Corey Knebel and Brad Hand going into the wild card round, and you've had Sir Anthony Dominguez since coming off the injured list not look like himself with right around 10 ERA. Andrew Bellotti, Connor Brogdon, both of these guys are supplying about a 3.35 ERA. They've been halfway decent. Got to figure that perhaps Nick Nelson comes in for a bit of a longer role, or Christopher Sanchez, someone of that nature. David Robertson has been solid in this bullpen, but I don't think we're going to be seeing him at all. And then for the Houston Astros, no shortage of bullpen pieces that you can utilize, as they're going to have quite a few days off. So maybe you get a little bit of a tune-up for guys like Brian Abreu, Rafael Montero, Ryan Stanek, these guys supplying a sub-275 ERA. They have been without Seth Martinez, but still you've been able to get good innings out of even someone like a Ryan Presley. Phil Maton has not been too bad for the team. The Astros probably going to be utilizing some of their understudies. You've got Kyle Tucker along with Jose Altuve that they might play in this game, because both of these guys are between 28 and 29 home runs entering into the game on Tuesday, so perhaps they want to get them to 30, as Tucker has been able to give you north of 100 RBI. Altuve hitting about a 295. Jordan Alvarez, 400 on base. Would not be surprised if he sits this game out, but you've been able to get some good just on base in general out of Alex Bregman. 365 on base, 23 home runs out of him, and even some of the understudies like in Elmendiz Diaz is hitting about a 250. Trebumo Mancini not hitting well in terms of average, but he's been able to supply 8 home runs since he was acquired. You've got other guys on the bench like Mauricio Dubon who are capable bats that are able to move the line. And then for the Philadelphia Phillies, you got to figure that Kyle Schwarber probably going to be sitting out of this game once again, and got to think that they're going to give Bryce Harper a day off as well. But you still have Alec Boehm, who's been able to do 80 for the team. Derek Hall, when he's gotten at bats, he has actually looked very solid, hitting a 260 with hitting about a home run every 15 or so at bats. You've had someone like Matt Vierling hit about a 250. Nick Maton is in that fold as well. So I do think that the Phillies still going to be able to put up a relatively respectable lineup. I do think the Framber Valdez is going to be on another level in this start, though. So I did set my total at 7.4. I do think that the Astros are probably going to be giving some of their bats a little bit of a rest. So I'm going to be taking a look at the under. I do think, though, that still, even with the Astros probably sitting a few of their bats, that they are going to be doing the majority of the scoring in this game. I'm willing to take the run line of the Astros at a +130, and I'm going to be taking a look at the 7.5 under, and that will wrap things up on a very strange Wednesday edition of the Baseball Betting Show, now part of the VSiN Family and Podcast. Big thanks to Holden Kushner, does a great job over there at Rumpier Bets, Rumpier Sports, the Denver CityCast list goes on and on. He joined me in the last segment. If you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, the Baseball Betting Show, you're able to subscribe wherever you hear podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at gnet_81. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. I'll be coming at you guys every single day throughout the year on this podcast. And that means that I'm coming at you guys once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say "free this week" into your Xfinity voice remote.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.